Father, we pray that you will show yourself more to us, that you show us how we can build according to your plan and build your city. We're here for nothing else but your plan. Open your heart more to us. Give us enlightened eyes of a heart. How we can know you more as the burnt offering.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. We want to see you as the burnt offering. For the building up of the new Jerusalem. Amen. Open our eyes for this tonight. That the new Jerusalem can be built more in us all. It's so good to have fellowship about the new Jerusalem. I can't get enough of it. I don't know about you, but it's so good to see the city. Revelation 21, verse 9. What does the angel speak to John? Maybe we can read it together again. It's good to see it before our eyes, to look upon the city. Starting at come. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to see the city more. We want to have it more before our eyes. Reveal to us this holy city, the bride of the Lamb. Thank you. You want to bring us there. You want to be those who can get to this goal. From heaven, from God.
Amen.
Yeah, carry us away on a great and high mountain. Amen. The city descending out of heaven from God. Yeah, show us the bride, the wife of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.
We want to see more. The Lord needs to open our eyes more and more. The more we have fellowship about it, the clearer the vision becomes. When we can see the city is so glorious. Is she suddenly there, the city? It doesn't just come out of nowhere, but what we saw in the spring conference, the Lord builds the city today. He wants to build up this new Jerusalem with us. He wants to bring us there. He wants us to be part of this city. And the question that we have to ask ourselves this conference, last conference we saw a lot of details about the new Jerusalem. The ones who weren't here, they can hear it from the recordings. But now we're here to see how really God wants to build up the city. The more we sought the Lord, we could see we are building up the city by serving the Lord in a priestly way. Let's read Revelation 22, verse 3. Revelation 22, 3. And that's where it talks about the city. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
Priester dienen. Amen. Halleluja. Keinen Fluch mehr.
And no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There's only one more thing that will be done in eternity. They will serve him as priests, it says in German, and they will rule with him. That's what they will do. That's why it's so important today that we learn to serve God as priests today. That's what we shall do in eternity. That's why we have to start today and praise the Lord. That's the way how we practically build this city. What's the main task of a priest? What does he do? We can read in 1 Peter 2:5. I had some fellowship with the Korean saints. It says in Korean, it's Sejajang. If I remember correctly, a priest is someone who brings offerings, sacrifices. Like in French, it is a sacrificer. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That's where you can see it. The building up of the house of God, the holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. These things all belong together. That's one package. That's why we want to see tonight how through the gaining of the spiritual offerings we can further the building up of the New Jerusalem. That's why we have the headline today in Romans chapter 3 on the outline is gaining burnt offerings for the building of the New Jerusalem. Maybe some of us have heard about Christ as the offerings. But I noticed there are more and more dimensions. We can go deeper and deeper with the Lord. We haven't realized everything yet. The Lord is so rich. There's so many more aspects we can gain. And I also liked when we go one chapter after 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 3, verse 8, there's a heading. There's in German, it says exhortation for the experience of Christ, or like explanations for experiencing Christ. And that's why we have this conference. We are not here to gain more knowledge, but that the Lord explains to us how we can gain him more practically, more concrete in our daily life, more tangibly in our life. I want to learn to live Christ more. Yesterday evening, we had Ephesians 4:20. You have not so learned Christ, Paul said. We have to learn Christ today. That really spoke to me. We want to see how we can gain Christ as the burnt offering. In Leviticus 1, the burnt offering is described. That's why we want to read some verses in Leviticus 1 and want to see how the New Jerusalem is being built through the burnt offering. I saw I gain the Lord, that I'm being transformed. It's my own preparation of Christ for the return of Christ. But there's another aspect. We gain Christ so that God's city can be built up with all saints, that we can be built up. That's what we want to look at tonight. I want to start with 3B on the outline, where we see Revelation 21:9. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's the first thing the angel says here, what he wants to show. What describes a bride? What signifies her? First thing is, she loves her husband. It's a relationship that relies on being forced. I have to do something for my husband. The wife loves the husband and is willing to listen to him. That's what you also can see. Ephesians 5, verse 23. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And this church is subject to Christ. That speaks to us. And I looked at Leviticus chapter 1. What does it correspond to? When we open Leviticus 1, about the instruction for the burnt offering, and here it says in verse 2, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord. In German it says, if you want to bring, yeah, it's not you must, you have to. It's of his own free will. It's voluntary. We have seen God's great plan. And what else do you want to do but serve him? I want to bring him an offering. I want to give my life to him. For what else do I want to live? The Lord has saved me from so much vanity. There's so many people living for vain things. But the Lord has shown us a city that is glorious, and nothing is comparable to the city. What else do you want to live for? And I was reminded of Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the day of your power, they will have a bit of willingness, but they shall be full of willingness. They shall be volunteers. If we have to serve practically, how willing are we? Or to give time for him? Are we full of willingness or just a bit of willingness? And here in the footnote, he says they shall be volunteers. In the footnote, it says full of voluntary offerings. That's the first aspects of love. When Paul wrote about it, how Jesus loved us, in Ephesians 5, 2, what did he say? He said, walk in love as Christ also has loved us, in Ephesians 5, 2, and given himself for us. The expression of love is giving yourself. through giving yourself, love is expressed. You can't say, I love you, and you don't do anything. If you give up something for someone else, maybe I like to give up something for someone I like, for different people. But how much am I willing to give my life fully to the Lord? How much of my life do I give to the Lord? Praise the Lord. The city is the wife of the Lamb that serves him out of love and voluntarily. Another aspect
is in Offenbarung, Kapitel 22, Vers 3.
That's in Revelation 22, verse 3. We already read that.
Der Thron Gottes und des Lammes,
the throne of God and of the Lamb Amen. Shall be in it.
Das ist im Zentrum, haben wir auch schon
That's gehört. In the center.
Der Stadt ist der Thron.
Is the, in the center of the city is the throne. What is the throne? That's where Jesus is the king, where he rules. And for us, it's also good to listen to the king. Where do we see the throne of God? In this world? Especially in this end of the world, the people rebel against God. Even among us, there's still a lot of rebellion in us. In dealing with one practically, one person says this, the other one says this. This egoism, this root that is still in us, the Lord wants to save us from this. When we see the city, we see in the center is the throne of God and of the Lamb. When we see this throne, then all our rebellion comes to an end. What really impressed me when we started preparing for the conference, we had this burden, how through the priestly service can build up the New Jerusalem. But then we were seeking the Lord more. And we were fasting and praying. And then last week we noticed we have to focus the burden even more on how to gain the offerings to build up the New Jerusalem. And the Lord really led all the brothers into this direction. It was not just one brother who said something and the other something else. But the Lord was ruling, and he was sitting on the throne in each decision. And I noticed it's so practical to experience the Lord on the throne. And that's what really fits with the burnt offering. And in Leviticus 1, it says, he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be well-pleasing. He puts his hand on the head, and then he killed the bull, and the blood comes out. And then he puts the head and the different pieces, he puts it on the altar. I have so much of my own head, my own thoughts, my own concepts, how we should do things, what we shouldn't do. And then sometimes there's different opinions or disagreements. And I realized how I can experience Christ as my burnt offering in this. Yeah, he's being placed on the altar, the pieces. In verse 8, he shall lay the parts, Leviticus 1, verse 8. I can't find it right now. He shall put it all in different spots on the altar. we need this experience in the church life, that for the Lord's sake, in verse 8 it says, the parts and then the head. And there's many experiences that we can have in this. Ephesians 5:21, that we submit to one another in the fear of Christ, in the fear of God, that we serve one another, that I'm not being served, but I learn to serve and to submit. And yesterday, we heard that we should fear the Lord. He is on the throne, and we should fear Him. We shouldn't think everything is love, everything is okay, but we should judge things, and we should stand before Him. And I noticed it's very practical. Often I fear man more than I fear the Lord. Sometimes I'm afraid for confessing the Lord before people, but I have to see the Lord on the throne, and then all fear of man disappears. Last week, I had the impression for longer time to reduce my work time, but I was afraid of my boss. And the boss is a man who works really much, and he gave some comments, oh, more young people want to work less and less. But I really brought it to the Lord, and I realized I have to bring Christ as my gain Christ as my burnt offering, and to experience Him as the one on the throne, and to tell Him, why do I want to do this, that I want to serve God, that I want to volunteer. The priestly service is a volunteer service, and to not be afraid and see the Lord on the throne and have Christ as the burnt offering. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was afraid, but He said, Lord, Father, not Your will, but not my will, but Your will may be done.
Amen.
Another point, part of this fear of God, we heard about, there is a verse in Proverbs 17, verse 10. That's where it talks about. Rebuke is more effective, Proverbs 17:10, for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. How many rebukes do I need sometimes until I understand something and I change something? It shows I don't have fear of Lord, and I just don't regard it. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man. So it's only one rebuke is more than 100 blows on a few. I have to be serious and apply it, and I really want to learn this. And that's where we can gain the Lord a lot as burnt offering. Maybe we hear something and receive it in the Lord and apply it. Before we were in Revelation 22, there is another aspect in verse 4, Revelation 22, verse 4. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Praise the Lord. His name shall be on their foreheads. The Lord wants to write His name on our foreheads. In Revelation 3:12 says, not just the name of the Father, but also, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He wants to write this name on us. What do we think about the whole day? I notice I need so much salvation. My thoughts are busy a lot. We are sitting in the meeting, and what do we think about? Do we think about the New Jerusalem? Hopefully. Only if we think about the New Jerusalem, then the name can be written on our foreheads. It's so wonderful. I noticed my mind needs cleansing. Sometimes I have unclean thoughts. And I really liked with the burnt offering, the inner parts, they are cleansed with water. They are washed with water. I need the inner parts to be washed with water, that the Lord can cleanse my impure thoughts. What is unclean can be cleansed. And there are so many good examples in the scriptures that live this. When we see the Lord, when Jesus was 12 years old, you probably know the story. What did he do? He was in the temple, and his parents, how long did they look for him? 3 days they looked for him. They didn't know where he was. They couldn't find him. 3 days, day and night, he was in the temple. He said, I have to be where my father's business is. His thoughts were just about the temple, the perfection of the city of God. He's such a good picture for us. Even Paul, no matter what he went through, in Philippians he said that he wants them to realize that it's for the furthering of the gospel what happened to Paul. Such, no matter what happens to us, that everything is for the furtherance of the gospel, that the word can be spread. No matter where I walk, that my thoughts are about how do you want to keep building this city? How can you strengthen this or that one? How can we encourage him? How can I preach this one, the gospel, that the Lord will fill our heart in such a way? When we see the burnt offering, in the end of the burnt offering, nothing is left. It's just an ash heap. There's nothing left of the burnt offering. When you see the life of the apostles, how much was left? They gave themselves fully for the Lord. We don't even know in the end what happened for some of the apostles. Everybody, when we give ourselves, we want to know what happens in the end. We want people to know what we're doing. For some apostles, we don't even know how they died. But they gave their life for the Lord, for the building up of a city, without making a big fuss. But in the end, they were just like an ash heap for the Lord. But what I really was encouraged by, when we look at Leviticus, where you see the ash heap, and maybe you can show the picture, In Leviticus 1:16, and he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. I really like this. Maybe you can take the picture that's further up, where you see the. That's where the altar is. The ash heap, it was east. It's in front of the altar. So the first thing you see when you come into the tabernacle is you see the ash heap. You wouldn't have the ash heap in front of the altar. The first thing you see when you come. It shows everything that comes from ourselves has to be ended. And the good thing is, it's in the east. That's where the sun goes up. It rises, and there is resurrection where the sun rises. When we become ash, we partake of the resurrection. Of the best resurrection. How Paul said, I want to see him and to be made like his death, that somehow he will come to the resurrection of the dead. And Philippians 3:10, that was his attitude. He was willing to give up everything, even if only the Lord can see it, that he can come to this best resurrection. That's what we can see in this wonderful ash heap.
Amen. Yeah.
Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. 1 Corinthians
15:31.
Yeah. I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Did you die today? How much have you died today? But Paul said, I die daily. I noticed sometimes I have a desire to do certain things in the world. But I noticed something reacts in me and says, that's not for you anymore. It's nothing bad, but for something the Lord reacts, oh, that's not for you anymore. And I can experience the death of the Lord and I can become ash to Him. Even in prayer, when the Lord was in Gethsemane, when he was praying, he told the disciples, can't you just watch for 1 hour with me? That's sometimes where I can experience the death of the Lord. And I let go of my own things and take an hour to pray to the Lord and to fight in prayer. That's where I need the burnt offering and can't do it by myself. The disciples couldn't do it by themselves. But now we have the wonderful Christ as our burnt offering, where we can have the willingness and do the will of God.
Amen.
The last point in the outline that really spoke to me with regards to Revelation 21:14. That's about the building material. What is the wall made from? It's made from jasper. Revelation 18. It's verse 18. The construction of its wall was of jasper.
Amen. Das Baumaterial ihrer Mauer war Jaspis.
Yeah.
Und Jaspis zeigt, es ist ein
Jaspis shows it's a precious stone. And a precious stone needs transformation. You don't become a jasper from one day to another. There is a process to it that takes time. It needs a precious stone for the wall to be solid, to be stable. If it's not a good material, the wall will fall quickly. That's why it needs this good material that the wall can stand fast. We shall be this material with what the Lord will build this city. The foundations are the 12 apostles. We shall be also those who can bear things, who can be pillars that are there, that are reliable, that the Lord can trust in and he can use. Yeah, they can carry heavy loads and can be transformed building material. Like, I, in my natural way, wouldn't do many, would do many other things, but wouldn't serve so much. I would be here one day and the other day somewhere else. But the wall is reliable, can carry heavy loads. And then when you say, I do it, then our yes should be a yes and a no should be no. Such people, transformed people, the Lord wants to have. With such people, the Lord can build his house. If we go back and forth, one day I say this and then I do it a different way, that's not reliable. You can't carry a heavy load. I need to be transformed into his substance. In Leviticus, what really spoke to me, there were different sizes. There was the ox, and then there was the goat, and the dove, the pigeon. When it talks about the pigeon, in verse 17, Leviticus 1:17, then he shall split it as its wings. When you split its wings, the bird can't fly anymore. Often my soul wants to fly away. There's a problem, I want to leave. Something I don't like, and I want to go. There's a problem, I'm not coming to the meeting anymore. That's not a building material that the Lord can build the city. Sometimes we join, sometimes we don't. That's where you can gain the burnt offering. That's where the Lord can split our wings and tell us, be here, be solid building material.
Amen.
And we shall be people that are reliable. I was reminded of Acts chapter 6. That's the example of the first church. There's a wonderful example of some disciples. There was a problem in the church that some were forgotten about. And in verse 3 it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. He doesn't just want us to do anything, but they shall be full, a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom the Lord can use for his work, for his service, and that will do the service filled through him. And then it continues in verse 5, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And I noticed when I serve, I should be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. We should not just serve and do something, but we should be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Yeah, when we serve, we should pray before we serve. Yeah, even when we serve before the tables, we should pray to the Father before. In order to be people that the Lord can use, we have to rely on Christ as the burnt offering. There is a price to pay. You don't just get it quickly. It takes that we pay a price to become such people, to give up something for the Lord. And that's why it's bring offering sacrifices. There are probably a lot more aspects, but praise the Lord. But these aspects really spoke to me how to gain Christ practically for the building up of the New Jerusalem.